This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium after a 43-21 win for the Patriots today at home. A big win. They went into the locker room at halftime up 27-7. And the game at that point, Paul tweeted it was over at that point, and it pretty much was, because I don't think it was ever really in doubt as the second half began.
No.
Convincing win.
It was a rout, just like Mike Klisser
very
predicted.
Convincing win. Yeah, Mike Kliss, who did predict the easy win for the Broncos. Go gentle on him, people. Go gentle on him. He just talked to Paul, apparently, outside and told Paul he had the route right.
I did. I saw him in the elevator, and he immediately came up to me. He goes, hey, I had the route right. And I said, yeah.
Yeah, route recognition right.
So a lot of things went right for the Patriots in this game. Again, the final score, 43-21. Here's how you get involved here in the postgame show. We're here for the next couple of hours. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. You can email in, webradio@patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 on the phone. You can tweet us as well. Andy's at Jumbo Hart. Paul's at PFW Paul. I'm at Mark_Bertrand. We can chat on Twitter if you would like during the course of this show. If you get a good tweet. And you know what? If you send a good tweet, it's likely to get read. That's the way it
sure.
goes. Send it to Andy. Andy's really good about the tweets.
Well, we are. The whole idea of this show is to be interactive, or the two shows, is to be interactive and allow fans immediate chances to preview the game
and
review the game.
Yeah, I will just say that when you send really long emails, it's kind of hard to sift through them all and sort out the good
And then he
stuff.
Reads them and he mocks your grammar mistakes and your punctuation mistakes.
I don't do that. That's not true.
Let's get to it. There's plenty of good.
Let's get to the good, which there was a ton of. Maybe some bad. I don't know.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Any injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I was fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
All right, let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured. Can I start with an injury thing not related to the Patriots? This is completely random.
Well, it's your show, so go ahead.
I feel the need to point this out.
It is.
Looks like Emmanuel Sanders and his ribs are okay. What was up with that? What the hell was up with that injury?
What, you can't suffer an injury and
He looked like he was dying on the sideline, and all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, he's back in there at like 100%. And his return was, I believe, questionable.
That is correct. It was questionable.
I would say the injury reporting of the Denver Broncos is questionable. That's what I would say after that. I just thought that was weird. Anyway.
I would say we live in a glass house, so let's keep our rocks
no,
in our
I
pockets.
Understand. No, listen. I would
an
say...
An odd opening comment
I would say
from you, Beetle.
I would say the Patriots injury reporting is doubtful. I would say not even questionable. Anyway, his ribs appear to be fine because he came back in, was very productive. But let's get to the good for the Patriots.
I don't know where to start. Obviously, the passing game is where you start because the running game will take no part in this good. So I don't know if it's Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman. I'm going to start with Edelman. I'll leave you guys to talk about Brady and Gronkowski. But Julian Edelman, you know, been some questions. He was in my bad category last week because he had a couple drops in a game that had very few incompletions. Well, he had a big punt return. Continues kind of a resurgent year, Paul Perillo, as a punt returner. Remember last year it was pretty quiet, a lot of fair catches.
Well,
you know,
late in the season.
So, you know, I think he had that big play there, and then he caught the ball, whatever he had, 89 yards on Nine catches, 9 of 10 targets, by the way. Efficient once again. So I'm going to give it up to Julian Edelman.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Rob Gronkowski. I know it's the obvious one, leading receiver in this game, but
the difference.
He is. Absolutely. He changes this entire team.
No.
And that's not to say anything new, Andy. It's not to say anything new, so don't mock it.
I like how you know that you're going to get made fun of
I know
by Andy
I am.
Before it happens.
I know that I'm going to get made fun of.
That's good recognition skills.
But he just makes such a difference and changes games. And you know what? You don't play a game every week against a team like the Denver Broncos and where they've been at this year. But now you see really what Rob Gronkowski means when you're playing against your best opponents. And tonight, he was the difference for the Patriots in this game.
And it, all it does is fuel the fire of what if that has been going on for the last 3 years in New England. What if you had Gronk when the season ended? How would history look differently upon the New England Patriots if you had Gronk healthy to end your seasons? And hopefully you'll find out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Defensively, two things, on the major good side. First of all, unlike last year when you couldn't go light up front and stop the run, they completely eliminated the run from, and this was early in the game, Denver came out trying to run the ball a little bit. They couldn't get anything going on the ground. And that created a lot of long yardage situations, and that played right into the second half of their whole equation, which is exactly how Andy and I felt would be the case going in. A lot of defensive backs out there, a lot of flooding of zones, not a lot of matching up, just different guys. They put different guys in different places. We saw Bronner on Julius Thomas. We saw Bronner on Emmanuel Sanders. We saw Bronner on Demaryius Thomas. Revis, first play of the game, was on the right side on Demaryius Thomas, second play of the game, on the left side on Emmanuel Sanders. They completely changed the looks constantly, and you were able to do that because you kept them in long yarded situations because you stopped the run. I thought, again, as is normally the case, to slow Manning down. You're not going to shut him down. I mean, the guy still threw for 400 yards today.
438.
Okay? But you slowed him down and kept him out of the end zone a couple of times because you're able to really flood those zones with multiple defensive backs, and you didn't pay for it because you were able to stop the run. So I know they gave up a lot of yards today, and I know they gave up some points. An outstanding all-around effort to me defensively. I did not see that coming. I thought the Patriots would win the game. I thought they would move the ball the way they did offensively. I did not envision 21 points for Denver when the game was over.
A lot of that penny personnel, right, Paul?
Well, that's what you called it.
I don't know. That's what Matt Bowen called it.
I try not to throw around the terms when I don't know what they are.
I just go with Matt Bowen. That's what he called it.
I was surprised. I think a lot of people had to have been surprised how well the Patriots stopped the run. 43 yards
yeah.
for Denver in this game.
I mean, I think
I did not see that coming.
The major difference between a guy like Knowshon Moreno, who's a lead back, and Ronnie Hillman, who, you know, it's kind of like the Patriots. I think you saw from Shane Vereen, you know, you don't have a lead back there. And, you know, the Broncos don't have a lead back. They have a guy who, as Kliss said, is probably a little more explosive and can be a factor in the passing game, but you didn't have a guy that you were just going to run it a bunch of times and take advantage of that situation. And they never did. I mean, they never got anything going on the ground.
Huge, huge day for the Patriots in stopping the run.
The funny thing is, they did. It's weird. I feel. You gave up 438 yards. You know, those came through the air.
Yes.
And I do think you did a good job flooding the zones, frustrating Manning, with looks and a lot of left, right and zone and all that. But and then I also didn't really think that either Revis or Browner played all that well. I thought they were kind of just, eh. Again, if you had told me that I was praising the back end, I actually think, you know, Chung was as good as anybody in coverage.
I was going to say, something else I would not have seen
right.
coming today. Patrick Chung, I thought, was probably, I mean, we can go ahead and say it. Was he their best defensive back on the field today?
He may have been, and that's kind of strange to think about. Now, I will say, Browner, we are getting Browner. Like, we are seeing Brandon Browner. He's physical. He's physical when he's good. He's physical when he's bad. He's going to stop plays. He's going to get penalties. And I continue to say I think it'll be okay in the postseason because they let him play more. I thought they let him play some tonight. He still got a couple penalties, but I think they let them play generally tonight. I think they're going to let him play in the postseason, and that'll play into the Patriots' hands with him.
There were other plays in this game tonight where I thought he could have been flagged.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yep.
And I thought, well, you're going to get called for some. You're going to get away with some.
And it's funny. I think he was more physical on some that he didn't get called on. Then you had the one in the end zone where he made a great pass defense, and I don't think he even need to grab on with the backhand.
Put his arm around the hip. I don't know why he did that.
It's textbook. If you twist the guy, the official sees that, they're going to throw it every single time. So I think it's interesting that, you know, even though you beat Manning and this offense, I think you can even say we can play better in the back end. We can play tighter with Revis. I thought Revis gave up a couple early catches, a couple late catches. You know, they obviously put up big numbers. Emmanuel Sanders gave them problems throughout the night when he was recovering from that major rib injury that you didn't care for. So I think there's room for growth. I thought up front, Jamie Collins was very active coming on those inside blitzes that, you know, we had seen some from Mayo early in the year. Now Jamie Collins is getting some of those. So defensively, I thought it was an interesting performance, but I think you can be better.
You mentioned Jamie Collins. I have to mention this. He had a pass interference call in this game that was, I want to say, Buffalo-esque. Was it pass interference that he got called for? What did he get called for? It wasn't defensive holding, right? It was a pass interference.
No, it was interference. He lost Hillman down the sideline and just buried him. But
oh, yeah.
I laughed. I laughed.
It was one of those days, though. I think Andy's right about the officiating. I would put the officiating in the good category, because if you want to watch football and you want to watch teams have an actual chance to come up with a stop, you need some place to get let go. You know, you need some hand fighting. I thought today they stuck to the egregious penalties. And like the one you just said, Beadle, about, you know, with Jamie Collins. I mean, some of them you had to call. And there were a fair amount of penalties on both sides in this game. I'm not saying there were no penalties.
10 for 72 for Denver, 9 for 71 for the Patriots.
But I thought that they stuck, for the most part, with pretty egregious in the passing game. You know, the line calls that you have to make, illegal shift, false start, those are automatic. But the pass interference penalties, the holding penalties, the illegal contact, there weren't many, if any, that I had a real problem with. I thought Bradley Roby got a ticky-tack one, but then they got a pick like a couple of plays later. Listen, it's nice to be able to see Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis, Patrick Chung. You know, they were in the vicinity of the receivers when the ball's coming in, and they weren't automatically called. So many times this year we've seen, there's a flag being too close.
Too close.
And we didn't see those today, you know. And that,
well, I actually loved the whole thing.
Yeah. Even the questionable block in the back on the punt return.
The hit on Manning, love it. This felt a little bit like
football.
The hit
that Derek Wolfe had on Brady after he had a throwaway.
Like, you know, 15 years ago football, which I think sometimes is playoff football. And I don't know. For all I know, the league said, hey, you know, this is a playoff game. Treat this like a play. Or maybe it just played out that way.
Or maybe you've just got a veteran official who says, treat it like a playoff game.
But this was much more like football that I like to watch, where you don't have as – and again, yes, you certainly could have called the – who was it with the block in the back on the punt return?
I believe it was Tim Wright.
Right. You certainly could have called that. I don't want to see that. You know why I come to games?
Why?
To see punt returns, to see big plays, to see stuff happen, not to see you throw a flipping flag. Catherine Tappan, by the way, was here. And bring things back.
It's inappropriate, Andy.
What?
It's inappropriate.
She's a nice lady.
Okay.
She's going one-on-one with Gronk if you're on NFL Net, NBC right now.
I beg your pardon?
That's inappropriate, Paul. What else we got good? There was a lot of good.
There was a lot of good in this
there
game.
There was a lot of good. I mean, we mentioned Edelman.
Steven Gostkowski?
Great.
Steven Gostkowski, battle of the kickers?
You know what? We thought that was going to be a huge edge for the Patriots coming in, but he makes a 49-yarder?
Yes.
Yes.
Into the wind?
Yep. 49.
Was it 49? 45 into the wind?
No, it was 49.
It was a long one into the wind. You know, the other kid, McManus, misses one from 44 yards?
Doink.
Off the upright. You know, Belichick's insistence to raise the uprights may have been the difference on that one. Just saying, it was pretty high up the upright. That may have been right.
Yeah,
over.
No,
it might have been right over the upright.
A lot of people were mentioning that. You know, you add 5 feet on there. If that happens last year, they might be calling that one good.
You know, the choking dog punter for Denver just dropping the ball on the punt return for a touchdown. You know, I mean, the special teams were good today again, and the special teams have been a strength for this team. I think for the most part all year.
Julian Edelman. Big punt return, 84 yards.
Big.
84 yards. How many yards do you think he actually ran on the play?
I don't know. Did they not put – oh, this
– I want someone to map it.
They would have done that on Sunday Night Football. They're the one that has that technology,
yeah, they
right?
Where technology. They'd map them to see how far.
Because, yeah, he ran a long way. He ran
did.
All the way to
the
right
the
side
field.
Down and then all the way back to the left to the far pylon.
Watching that hit again on Tim Wright, I do think it was a hit in the back, but I'm not sure he makes the tackle if he didn't hit him. But, yeah, Edelman does go all the way. He gets all the way to the right sideline.
And
then comes all
the
way back to the left, depending on your point of view. But from the
Patriots
side.
Screen.
Your near side.
Depending on the
back to the near side.
Yeah, you sound like a radio guy. Yeah, right. The near side.
Right to left on your radio dial.
You know, and then I just can't say enough about the defensive backs. I can't say enough about the defensive backs. I think that they were all very competitive in this game with their coverage, their physicality. Malcolm Butler, you know, he got beat a few times and he showed up a few times,
made
too.
Made a nice play late. Closed and had some good timing late in the game.
I thought Manning found him early in the middle.
Oh, God, he was
checking on him. And they yanked him.
Checked on him.
I think that's when they actually went to Butler, took Chung out, and then put Chung back in and pulled Butler again. But, you know, we're nitpicking. If you just step back a little bit, you go, wow, that team's been cruising. That's the best team in football, theoretically, coming in, and you just beat them by three scores.
Yeah, and I have that in the good category. Absolutely. That's in the good category for me.
You know, how much of a factor do you think Demaryius Thomas really was in this game? He put up huge numbers, but I feel like the guy who was a bigger factor was Sanders.
Oh, no question.
I mean,
I think Thomas only had 5 or 6 catches.
But
no, Thomas finished with 7 for 127.
No, I know he had 100 yards, yeah, but he didn't have a ton of receptions.
No,
I mean,
he didn't.
And I'm not taking that away from him because that's what you're looking for.
I mean,
putting up
127 yards in the receiving game is a big day. And
he was excellent.
To get to 430, somebody's going to have
I know, I'm just saying, it wasn't that big of a day for him.
They're going to have a hard time handling those two guys. And I do think that, again, you know, the knock on Manning came through again today. I thought a lot of balls got away from him in the weather, and that's going to be the case. And now at least you have a puncher's chance to get the game back here.
And he was flustered. You saw some Manning moments. That time when they had to call the timeout, they were going to have to delay a game. They came back, almost had to delay a game. He got pressured by I'm not sure who, and he just threw it, and it very easily could have hit Kyle Arrington in the chest for a pick. I thought Welker actually kind of broke the pass up, but that was a little circumstance of play there. Manning was flustered. Manning looked pressured. Manning looked annoyed. Manning looked, you know, happy feet.
For all we've said about Peyton Manning playing poorly in the weather in his career, which is all true because that's been true for a long time with him, I almost think that now, and we talked about this when we had Mike Kliss on in the pregame, talking about the way he's throwing the football
this
year.
Should we give out his Twitter handle?
Go right ahead, Andy.
I actually don't know it.
I think it's Mike Kliss.
Oh, at Mike Kliss?
I think that's what it is.
Okay, at Mike Kliss, if you want to hook up with our Patriots pregame social guest who predicted the blowout for the Broncos.
Well, I would say this, and we talked about it. It looked prior to today
that
Manning's been throwing the ball really well. I feel like he has been throwing the ball better this year than he was last year. He looks stronger so far. Today, you deal with the cold, and I wonder if the nerve with his neck and the arm, something, you know, he doesn't have great feeling, because I know that was being talked about a couple of years ago when they were in the playoffs against the Ravens. They're playing in the cold weather, talking about Manning still got the issues where he can't feel his fingertips and all that stuff.
Double glove guy.
Yeah, I looked at the way he threw the ball in this game today, and I thought, there's got to be some truth in that. It looked like he was struggling to get the ball down the field at times.
Well, I mean,
and then there were times where he looked great, right? He made great passes.
There was some wind out
there.
There
were a couple of times where I thought,
that's what he is. He throws the ball so quickly. It's sort of like what Mike talked about, Mike Kliss, for the positive. He throws it, and you think a guy's covered, and then he runs under, and he's 6 yards open.
And you know,
he threw it, and he wasn't always open.
He did a few of those today, though, that
yes.
I did notice. When he threw it, I was like, ooh, is it? Oh, wow, look at that.
But he also did the one coming at us down the right sideline. I think it was fourth down to Welker, down that, where he just threw it immediately, boom, and Welker never uncovered. The timing was never there. So, you know, that's a dangerous game you play when you're throwing like that. You know, when you disrupt it, it's not going to look good. And I thought the Patriots had some pressure on him at times up the middle, you know, with some of those blitzes and different things and all those moving bodies. A lot of times it was only, you know, two defensive linemen. I think we even saw a little Alan Branch sighting, although I didn't notice much, but I heard Fred say Alan Branch.
Well, you mentioned Alan Branch. How about Akeem Ayers with his sack of Manning?
Well, I wanted to bring that up as another one in that.
Put that good.
Well, the good on the officials. Because that's a call with that new ridiculous rule that they put in several years ago about low hits on the quarterback
right.
that can be a roughing the passer, and they let that one go. It was
Can't
a low
touch
hit.
These guys now.
It was a low hit. I mean, that's just tackling to me. There was nothing dirty, nothing malicious about that. There's no level of football that I want to see that called a penalty, and they didn't call it. But I have seen that called. So it was nice to see them let that go. Vince Wilfork, by the way, at the podium right now with the Mr. T starter set on. That's a big chain that he's wearing.
Large.
Yeah, it's a large man. A
lot of gold.
So is he.
A lot of gold. Large
well,
man.
Let's be honest, it would look ridiculous if he had
what
a little gold.
Yeah. Andy, I don't think you could pull that
chain
off.
Oh, I could pull that off.
I don't know if you could.
Ask him if I can borrow it.
I don't know if you could.
Patriots Football Weekly TV this week. I'll wear that gold chain.
And whatever that shirt is. I want you wearing both. I want that exact combo. That's what I want you wearing.
It says something on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it says.
bet you it's expensive.
So we've covered a lot of the good, and we'll get to more and more of it as we go through the next couple of hours.
Was there that play that he threw over the middle to Emmanuel Sanders? And Sanders was just on the ground when the ball got there. Don't know how he got there.
And by the way, about a couple feet from him was Brandon Browner running with his hands up like, I didn't do it. I know that's called circumstantial evidence, but it certainly looked like he must have done something.
What do we got for the bad? What do we want to nitpick?
Shane Vereen. I'm done with him.
Andy was really mad.
Drops, doesn't make plays, doesn't make people miss, didn't run the ball. I'm sorry. I've been the hugest Shane Vereen.
A lot of opportunities today to run the ball.
I feel like we've been saying about him for a couple of weeks now.
Yes, I'm off him.
But opportunities to run the ball in situations that the Broncos weren't playing the run, and he got nothing.
Joining us on the line now, Shane Vereen.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Kevin, make sure you tell us when there's a player on the line.
Yell at us.
Immediately.
Bang
even if we don't
glass.
Go to him, just let me know to shut my trap.
He's in the bad category. Okay, we'll put Shane Vereen. What'd you think of Jonas Gray today?
He didn't do anything positive.
I'm not blaming him, but he did nothing.
Right. I mean, that's a good run defense.
It's a good run defense, and they obviously didn't want to run the ball a lot.
And I didn't want him to, so I'm okay with it. I didn't expect him to. They all were 2 yards a carry. I get back to it. I'm not overwhelmed, and part of it is the curve upon which I'm grading, but the Revis Browner combo, I want to see more from. And I know I'm probably being nitpicky, and I'm probably going to be, what are you looking for? I'm looking for more. Looking for more. I feel like I'm a coach or whatever, and, some of the stuff they did today in certain games could cost us. We need to be better. And I brought them in for a reason. I brought them in to beat the Broncos and to go to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. They need to be better if I'm going to do that.
Can you give up 438 yards to Peyton Manning in a playoff game and win?
Yes, if it's like it was today. Absolutely.
If he turns the ball over.
Well, I'm not even talking about the turnovers, but you're not going to just shut down that offense. It's not just going to be.
No, I'm not saying
we're going to force punts. They're going to get yards, but they were able to make them work for the yards in the red zone, especially.
And third down.
I think
they didn't have a third down conversion until the third quarter.
They had three straight turnovers on downs, I want to say, in the second half. So if you can get a lead and make them chase, then, yeah, you're going to give up yards and whatnot. I thought that they hung in pretty well today.
Patriots also forced first stop where they didn't score on the 51st red zone attempt this year. So,
you got anything to add to that?
No.
Any analysis?
Felt like a complete point. Wow. Okay.
I don't know that.
Felt like a complete point.
I had nothing
point.
To add because I don't know the.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all
it was
right.
their first
this
non-scoring
I don't know
red
the
zone
That's
opportunity
good.
This
That's
year.
That's good. Any injuries to speak of today? I think they're clear.
I'm not sure the Patriots had anybody that stayed down out
I
there.
I think they're clear.
For any time. The Broncos lost a couple guys. It looks like they lost Nate Irving for the year.
You know who I'd put in the good category?
Who?
Marcus Cannon.
I thought you were going to say?
Who?
James Devlin.
I would have, except he had that questionable loose ball at the end of the second one there. So, big day for him, though. At least he comes up with it. But, Marcus Cannon.
Big day for him. Yeah, he was a big part of the.
Marcus Cannon no
1.
Longer.
2 yards a rush.
No longer deserved to play in a game where the other team just happened to have really good pass rushing defensive ends. It's funny. Funny how that works. Funny.
But this is a perfect way to head into the bye, too. You get, a big game that you put a lot invested in, and you don't even have to worry now about sort of getting the emotions back up right away the following week.
Nope.
Because now you get a week to rest, and then you go to Indy and play another big game that you have 14 days now to prepare for.
But
perfect.
I mean,
perfect situation for the Patriots.
And we've talked about it, but now, once again, this is the fifth straight week. I'm ready to say this offense is just going to score points. This offense is in that mode where you say, more often than not, I'm going to predict them to score 30, 35-plus points, regardless of the defense, regardless of the matchup. If you want to get into a shootout, they're ready to get into a shootout.
Let's go out to the, I'm sorry, I forget the expert name here, the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's what I needed to say. Had to come up with the name there. I was digging for it.
Always get the sponsor.
Yeah, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline and go inside the Patriots locker room. Joining us now on the line here on the Xbox One postgame show is Kyle Arrington. Kyle, congratulations on the win. You must be feeling pretty good after this one.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. It was a good team win.
How do you feel about the momentum this gives you? You guys got the bye week here, and everybody around here, I know you guys go one game at a time, has been talking about this stretch of games here, but, you got a 5-game winning streak. You got a week off here. You knock off the Broncos at home. Nice little momentum to head into the week off, huh?
Definitely. No, we're definitely going to take some time to enjoy this one. Josh, couldn't come at a better time. You know, guys get a chance to get off their feet, get some R&R, and you know, just get away from a couple of days, get away from it for a couple of days, and come back ready, you know, ready to go.
Kyle, you saw a lot of Wes Welker today, and you did last year as well. How much does your knowledge of him, obviously being a former teammate, how much does that help you in a matchup like that against Welker?
It's a lot of familiarity there. And I obviously he knows my techniques and vice versa. And so what it really comes down to, you know, is winning that one-on-one matchup every down to down, every play.
How much fun did you guys have out there tonight? Obviously, you know, you gave up some yards, but it's Peyton Manning and a high-powered offense. How much did you guys enjoy the challenge that was keeping them in check? I don't think they had a third-down conversion until the third quarter, and obviously you walk away with an impressive victory.
I mean, definitely, man. It's as good as it gets when it comes to, you know, Peyton, you know, Tom, those kind of guys. And so to match up with the, you know, the best team in the NFL right now, and to come away with a victory like that is extremely rewarding. And like you said, I mean, we gave up some yards here and there, but that's a good offense. That's a good team. You know, and you rarely play a perfect football game. We know we'll go back and look at the film and try to correct the mistakes from there.
Well, I got news for you. When you beat the so-called best team in the NFL by 3 scores, Kyle, you know who they're going to be calling the best team in the NFL next week, right?
No. I have no clue. This league is just so week to week, man. So, no, we just try to put one step in front of the other, man. And keep our head, like I said, keep our heads down for what's up in front of the other. Yeah, keep chipping away.
You may have heard me when you were on hold coming on, but, you know, the last 5 weeks, this offense that you're watching on your sideline is a pretty impressive group. Gronk is hitting his stride. Brady's hitting his stride. How much enjoyment do you get out of sort of sitting back and watching those guys move up and down the field and put points on the board, which sort of helps you guys do your job?
It's fun. It's fun to watch those guys go out there and work that hard. And, you know, it's contagious, to be honest with you. You know, we want to go out there and do the same thing, go out there and bust our butts for those guys and try to get the ball back in Tom's hands and offense hands as much as possible. You know, that's seems like a pretty good recipe.
Do you feel like this bye week for your team is coming at a good time? It seems like it's right at the right spot. You have a big win now, and now you've got a long time to prepare for your next game, which I don't know if you're thinking about it yet, game just ended, but your next one at Indianapolis, another big AFC matchup.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, man. I think guys do a great job of, I said this earlier today in an interview, guys do a great job on the team of just compartmentalizing everything and just taking it week to week, you know. So this week, you know, we'll obviously tonight we'll focus on enjoying this win. Guys did a heck of a job. We earned it, you know, earned to celebrate a little bit, and you know, then we'll get off our feet for a little while. Then, you know, we'll come back and get ready for Indy.
Kyle, it's an old theme around here, but you know, you never know when your week is going to come. Your playing time been down a little bit in recent weeks, and then boom, you're back out there tonight playing a key role in a big victory. Akeem Ayers gets here, and boom, he's out there the first couple weeks with sacks. It's like week to week, you never know who's going to be called upon, and yet you guys as veterans seem to be ready to get the call.
Exactly.
How fun is that?
You know, it's just a mindset and mentality here. You know, everybody's prepared to play a 50-minute football game. No matter what the situation is, and I think, you know, guys do a great job of being extremely professional and you know, being great about that. I'm sorry, just being great about that. Like I said, it's just being ready to play a 50-minute football game.
Kyle, I just wanted to ask you real quick. Obviously, you guys switched a lot of things up in the secondary from time to time. How difficult is that to do against Manning and try to find a lot of different things and maybe get him in a situation where he hasn't seen something? Because it seemed like you guys periodically had him a little bit confused at times today.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely a cat and mouse game. It's a great chess match. You know, we at least attempted to play with him. There's one play where Peyton got us on a preview on one coverage rear end, then we turn back around and Rob picks off the next pass. So we were just trying to mix it up on him, not, you know, throw the same thing at him. You know, down after down.
Patriots defensive back Kyle Arrington joining us here on the program. Kyle, congratulations on the win again. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Enjoy it, Kyle.
Right,
congratulations.
Man,
thanks,
right,
Kyle.
Take care, man.
All right.
Kyle Arrington joining us here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Big win for the Patriots. They win tonight, and that moves them with two losses right there with the Broncos with two losses. And right now the Patriots lead the AFC. And as you said, Andy, There's going to be a lot of people saying the Patriots are now the best team in football.
Yep. It's probably started, you know, with Rodney Harrison, Tony Dungy, I'm guessing. We didn't see it, but on the Sunday night football analysis, you'll hear some of that talk tomorrow leading up to Monday night football on ESPN. And I think it's warranted. I mean, in this league where so much changes, you know, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, you know, we were mocking Fred because ever since he anointed the Chargers the best team in football, they've do nothing but stink. And
blown out today, 37-0 by the Dolphins.
By Miami.
Oh.
And, you know, the Patriots were dead 4 weeks into the season. You know, I saw Kirk Minahan from WEEI tweeted out something.
Never heard of him.
Saying, you know, after week four, you know, he wrote a column for their EEI.com yeah. saying that Brady was in a steep decline. And he said, I'm a bleeping moron, obviously. you know, what does he have, 18 touchdowns in the last five games? October player of the month. Well, looks like he's going to get off to a pretty good start to November. And I just, right now, who are you going to pick? You know, Seattle. We all look like fools. Oh, you know, the bully's back at home and the bully's got the little geek coming to town. And well, you know what? The bully didn't take care of business. So how can you not say the Patriots, if not the best, are among the couple?
Listen, I don't know about making any grandiose declarations. They're playing the best football
right now.
Right now.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance in 3 weeks somebody else will.
And I don't think that's arguable.
Right.
The Patriots are blowing teams out right now. They just blew out a team that was playing very well. They're playing the best right now. There's no question about it.
But in this league, that's almost a bad thing.
That can change.
Well, no, it's almost a bad thing because, like, you're anointed, and then you start to stumble. You know, whether it was, Cincinnati was 3-0. Weren't they the best team in football at 3-0? And then we had some Chargers votes. We've had some Broncos votes along the way, and all of those teams have stumbled mightily at some point, sort of under the weight of that greatness. But I don't think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will stumble under the weight of the greatness.
Yeah,
they may lose because they got a tough stretch of games coming
right
here, so, but I'm not sure they'll stumble under the weight of greatness.
You know, it's funny how that perception changes, too. And I agree that they still have, like, this is a huge win. This is a great win against them. I still think Denver's a good football team. It's going to be heard from. But it doesn't look quite as daunting as it,
oh, no.
as it did.
Nope.
Indy now, to me, is an underdog. Green Bay, to me, is an underdog. Those teams don't stack up to Denver, to me. So if you just did what you did to Denver, and I know it was at home and you have to go to those two places, San Diego, forget it. We already talked about that. Anybody going to favor the Chargers in that game, even though it's in San Diego?
No.
And I'm not saying it's not a losable game. Yeah. I mean, those are good football teams, and you're going on the road to play those three teams. You could lose to any one of them. But it no longer looks like, hey, if we could go 3-3 in this stretch. No, they're going to do better than that.
And that, to me, at least a big chunk of it is, that's because they're back to us assuming they're going to score 35 points. You know what I mean? And no matter what, if you can score points, this, I'm going to channel my inner Trent Dilfer. If you can score points, you can win games.
If you can win.
That's good. Is that math?
You don't have to lose.
Is that math? But, I know we were talking about math earlier.
Yeah.
Well, math was coming into play a little bit early on in that game.
Yeah.
In tonight's game.
Yes.
Yeah. 7 is more than 6.
A little bit. A little bit.
By just a little. I literally thought of that. I
well,
said,
the Patriots scored 7-6, twice, and the Broncos scored once.
Two field goals. The Broncos only scored
that's
once.
Good.
Wait a minute. 7 is more than 6.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wait a minute.
And then, yes, Mike. I don't see any other way to look at it.
Absolutely, Mike.
Then Manning throws the pick, and then Edelman returns the punt, and it's ball game.
I just want to say this. The Patriots at 7-2 would be the number one seed in the AFC if the season ended today. And as Andy said, that can change quickly. But after 9 weeks of the NFL schedule, the Patriots are at the top of the AFC. The Broncos are second at 6-2. After that, there's just a crap load of 5-win teams in the AFC. The Bengals, 5-2-1. Indianapolis, 5-3. And those are the 3-4 teams right now. You've got the win over the Broncos, you've got the win over the Bengals, and now you have a shot to go up against the Colts in their place. Tough yeah. game, but you're coming off the bye. You could have tiebreakers over all the top teams in the AFC
this is the fine line, right? That just the two teams you just mentioned, Beadle, you play Indy the next game. So
right.
let's just say, for argument's sake, you lose. I'm not expecting that.
Sure.
I'm not gonna. I won't make my declaration right now for 14
okay.
days from now, but if they were to lose to Indianapolis, now you're tied with Indianapolis and you don't hold a tiebreaker, correct? You're now behind Denver. You're now behind Cincinnati, provided that those teams win. Because the tiebreaker with Cincinnati is meaningless now because Cincinnati tied a game. You can't tie Cincinnati. You're either going to be ahead of them by a half a game or behind them by a half
a game.
That's a
good point, Paul.
You can't tie them.
Completely forgot about that.
So
I love when you just give his thing out. I wanted to say ATS when he said 5-2-1. Is that ATS?
So, you know, and
how the Patriots do today, ATS.
Obviously,
they
won. The Patriots may lose the game, but those other teams aren't going to win out either.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of football to be played. I'm just talking about in the short term, how quickly it can change. Like Andy said, you're riding high right now as the best team in football, and all of a sudden you go from the one seed to the three seed with one loss, potentially.
Plus, don't you crawl right back into Manning's head. Not that he can't win, but there was nothing fluky about this,
no.
Right?
No.
There's no, well, he screwed up and he shouldn't have run it as much. Or, you know, the Patriots beat you. They beat you.
No, but I think
and now you're thinking
similar,
you might have to come back.
I think in terms of head games, it was similar to last year, though. I mean, you blew a 24-0 lead last year. It doesn't get more embarrassing than that for Denver.
But see, that wouldn't bother me as much because now I'm saying, we're the team that played the first half. We should have blown them off the field. This one, I don't think I should have ever blown them off the field. I think the Patriots should have won this game from pretty much the get-go, and they did.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. Want to read one quick email for you, Andy, before we take a quick timeout. Anders writes in, why don't you invite Mike Kliss? And he doesn't spell it Kliss. Back for the post-game show. I think Mike is busy writing his story,
working.
But he has already admitted to Paul that he screwed up pretty badly on his pick for this game.
And we also gave him the out. He admitted that the most significant action of the Patriots he saw this year was
Kansas City.
He was set up for failure.
Unbelievable.
He's like, whoa, they've been averaging 40 points a game since then? I didn't know that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from you. 855-PATS-500. Send in the emails and also hit us up on Twitter. At Andy Hart. Andy Hart is at Jumbo Hart, not at Andy Hart, like
no.
At Mike Kliss. At Jumbo Hart. Paul at PFW Paul. I'm at Mark_Bertrand. Hit us up on Twitter. Give us your thoughts on this huge win for the Patriots tonight over the Denver Broncos. We've got more to come on the show. We'll hear from Tom Brady. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. Maybe some other players along the way. Who knows? Maybe some surprises. All of that coming up on the Xbox One Patriots post game show. Don't go anywhere.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the show. Let's get to a couple of quick emails before we hit the phone calls. Jalen from Iowa writes in, Andy called it, the kicker pooped himself. Andy, are you paying attention over there? Hi, Andy. Welcome back to the show. How you doing, Andy? There you go.
Thought that I said that, but...
Oh.
They don't like it when you talk in the background like that.
Oh, okay.
They get mad at you.
Who gets mad at
that? I used to read the inactives.
Underrated players of the game. This is the email from Michael. It's Mike from Rancho Cucamonga.
Okay.
I think the underrated player of the game, the underrated play of the game was the play of Patrick Chung. This email is not really written... Grammatically,
you just said you don't mock him, and I said you mock him, and you say no, you'll mock him.
You could help him.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm
Patrick Chung was underrated.
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out if he's talking about he's not talking about a player. He's talking about multiple players. Patrick Chung and Brandon Browner.
Yeah, I don't think Brandon Browner was underrated. I think he walks such a fine line between giving up plays and getting penalized and making plays. Paul was joking about the Emmanuel Sanders strewn across the middle of the field in the red zone and like a yard away, right, Browner's running away with his hands up.
The ball right. got thrown and hit Emmanuel Sanders in the cleat because he was on the ground.
The emailers are really high on Browner tonight.
Mike, because they
love him.
Mike from Sodak writes,
they love him.
What a game. Great plays by incredible. How do you say this?
Incredelman.
Incredelman.
That is a PFW original.
Really?
Even though Patriots tweeted it out like it was theirs, that's a PFW cover words from how many years ago?
Incredelman. I like it. It's good.
Once you were able to articulate it.
Yeah. Browner played great. I'll take the penalties. So he thinks Browner played great as well.
I just can't agree with that.
I just think that... listen, if the game gets officiated like it did tonight, he was great.
I'm not even sure he was great.
There's going to be a game that he's going to have six or seven penalties in because he could have had that many today.
Rob from Florida writes, I know Patriots players can't catch, run, pass, or tackle, or cover, according to most PFW callers and emailers, but that was a damn good game. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for the email.
Who is he arguing with?
He's arguing with some of the people who called after the Kansas City game. That's who he's arguing with.
Okay.
He's ignoring the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, it was like a month and a half
ago. But that's what they do. Somebody had a good one of those narrative things. The only narrative that's now more overplayed than Brady was declining is the that Brady was declining narrative that everybody talking about it.
Glad I didn't get in on that one.
You closed the window.
I closed the window, but I wasn't in on Brady declining.
Oh, so it had
opening up a little bit.
The window closing had nothing to do with Brady.
No, see this.
So you thought Brady was still elite? And the window was closed?
Yeah, you obviously don't listen to the program.
Which program? This one?
The one that I'm on.
Wait,
on a daily basis. Not this one.
I try not to listen to that one. It frustrates me at
times. That's why. That's why you didn't even know what the take was. It wasn't even a take on Brady. It was a take on Brady's chances, not because of his play, but because of everyone else around him and his offensive line and lack of weapons and all that stuff. Had nothing to do with him himself. In fact, I said he could go elsewhere and win a Super Bowl. I did say that.
But that was part of my whole feeling.
It wasn't even about him. I think he's been great. And I think the first month of the season, outside of the Kansas City game, because I don't think he played well in that one. I think he sucked in that one.
I don't think he was great opening the year.
I thought it was hard to figure out what he was because of how poor the protection was.
But I think that's part of the people who think he was in a decline, and I would put myself in this category. That didn't used to be the case. He didn't used to need top-notch protection and, you know, a bevy of weapons and all this stuff.
And, Paul, you top off that month with Kansas City where he was not good.
No, but what I'm saying is,
protection or not,
he's
he
played
was
at
not
a much
good.
Better level now. I don't think that everything around him is that much better. I think
thought
Gronkowski,
he was pressured tonight. I thought he made
thought
throws
he
on the run.
I thought he had a ton of pressure tonight. Like, I thought he was under a ton of pressure tonight. Andy, he made some great moves and throws under pressure. He made some bad throws under pressure tonight,
both of you guys brought
including
this up.
The interception.
You guys,
but he's also, again, I continue to get back to you. Look at the stat sheet, and it's, you know, 10 targets, 9 catches. 9 targets, 8 catches. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't giving them the opportunity right.
Now,
to be that efficient early in the year.
And everybody wants to talk about how everybody else is playing better. Well, if that's the case, if everybody else is playing better and that's why Brady's playing better, then maybe he is in decline.
See, I think he's playing better.
I think he's. See, I personally think he's playing better too, Andy. I'm with you.
But can't you
Gronkowski, to me, is the only one who's like markedly playing at a higher level.
For reason. But can't he just be playing better?
That's how I feel.
But why
you don't think LaFell's playing better?
Not tonight.
The last month.
Yeah, he's caught more passes, no question.
Well, I think he's been much better. I thought he looked lost at times in the first month of the season. And maybe that's just, you know, being here another month and now being...
He's been fine.
I'm sure he's
more
comfortable.
I think he's more comfortable. I think.
Why are you so reluctant to say that? It sounds like you don't want to get on that on board with that.
I think he's been fine. I think that Gronkowski is the difference. I think it's
I agree. I agree. But I'm just saying,
I hate to play any side of the street, but it's all Gronkowski to me.
I'm just saying,
get away from my Gronk.
I just don't think he's the only guy that's played a lot better in the second month of the season versus the first.
No, but what you're missing is... When he plays better, it makes every other job on the field easier. The quarterback, the other receivers, everybody. So they look like they're playing better. They're really just playing the same, and they're having more opportunities. The coverage isn't as tight. The pressure isn't as great. Gronk is the greatest individual football player that's ever walked the planet.
Nobody has ever been better, ever, at any position.
And by the way, Mike Kliss, when you said Julius Thomas is Gronk, no, he's not. Clearly he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
Julius Thomas, I think.
Did he say that?
No.
I'm actually kidding.
Did he say
that? He did,
like
but
that?
He didn't mean it like that.
He
was saying the
like
way
that.
The offense was orchestrated. You know, Demaryius Thomas is Moss, and Julius Thomas
is
Gronk.
They're
like,
Gronk.
Right.
Not Gronk.
Is why I disappointed a lot of our people on Twitter, because they were disappointed I didn't jump down his throat and defend Gronk, but I knew what he meant. But if you ask me, the one who failed miserably tonight, the eyeball test, Julius Thomas, didn't do anything. Demaryius Thomas,
I thought he was okay.
It makes you think that a guy like Julius Thomas is a guy who picks up the scraps, right?
He's a front runner.
You've got
when things are
Sanders.
Loose and fast. I think he said it about the Patriots.
This is too easy.
The fast break.
Remember, this is too easy.
No, I don't remember.
Julius Thomas caught a touchdown pass against someone earlier this year and said it came off the field. The mic picked him up saying this is too easy.
But
front runner.
Don't you feel like he's a fast break player? When everything's kind of flying and rolling and speed and athleticism?
I'm watching the replay of that one-handed catch by Gronk, which was just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
How anybody could say that he's not getting touched right there with the ball in his hand is beyond me.
We'll talk to Fred.
Fred,
I got to
like,
be honest.
Fred,
I did not. The angle they just showed on our monitor here in the replays, I never saw that angle.
Yeah.
I was waiting for something like that because I thought,
It, they showed it on the telecast, and Fred went absolutely apoplectic when they didn't overturn that and call it a touchdown.
Really?
Yes.
Once I saw that, I would have said, oh, hell no. You were down, man. Down at the one.
It wasn't even close. I mean, it was a ridiculous catch.
It was a great catch.
And the best part of it, too?
Then he got the touchdown
anyway.
It
was with the black arm, with the big black thing. You know, we saying, you know, we were talking about, oh, does that stiffen him, take something away? Looked like a pretty nice catch with the black brace arm. And also my favorite part of that is they so wanted him to get the touchdown, they just came out and gave him the touchdown. Like, we're just going to do what we want here. We're going to get him that touchdown he should have had on the last play.
50th touchdown of his career, 50th TD in 59 games. Rob Gronkowski, a force to be reckoned with for the Patriots.
Did you know I tried to once nickname him G-Force before he was on the team?
That didn't stick.
Didn't catch on.
Didn't stick.
I had G-Force and H-Bomb.
H-Bomb.
You know who that is?
I really didn't like that one.
The guy who went on to explode.
Hernandez.
Originally, though, I wanted to dub them G-Force and H-Bomb before they played anything, the moment they were drafted.
Okay, well, that didn't
stick. Remember, G-Force was like those watches?
Yeah. They're G-Force, like the ones that like glow in the dark and stuff,
and they're
right?
like indestructible, like they're the big like...
G-Force.
Right. But, you know, Gronk stuck.
Let's get to the phones. Let's get to some of your thoughts, and we'll start with Liam in North Carolina. What's up, Liam?
Woo! Another great win.
Hell yeah.
See it. First, a quick shout out to the PFW Elite, greatest group on Facebook.
Preamble to Jay.
Those guys still hate me, Liam?
Say again?
Those guys still hate me on there?
Do they hate you? Not that I've seen.
Oh, I thought they did. I've been told they do.
I think they do.
I'll show you
do they? I bet they do. That's okay.
So on my good list, the weather, you know, it just goes to show that Peyton doesn't do well in the cold weather.
I'm going to make it an even bigger positive than what you just made it out to be. I don't think the weather had a big factor in this game today. I think the Patriots are just better.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little wind, but...
Yeah, I don't really think it had a huge... I don't think it really had a huge impact. I think the Patriots just bothered Manning today. I thought they had a little pressure in the middle to make a move a little bit, and I think that the multiple heavy defensive backs were in his way. You know, the Rob Ninkovich interception was a perfect example. He lined up on the line and dropped, and I don't think Manning ever saw him. I don't think that had anything to do with the weather at all. I think the Patriots are just better today. I think it's even more encouraging that it wasn't like Andy, I think the way you put it early, it wasn't a fluky kind of, you know, weather-related thing. It was just dominance.
Yeah, what was really encouraging, Brady moved really well in the pocket today. That seemed to be a lot different than... You know, in times past, he seemed to it actually made some of his better passes while he had to move.
Yep, he continues to do that.
The run D. Yeah, if the defense can play like this the rest of the season, I think we're good to go.
Well, I
feel
mean,
a lot better about the next several games.
Yeah, I don't think the Denver running game was much of a challenge tonight. Give the Patriots run defense credit, but I'm not just going to say this team can do that against anybody. I mean,
maybe not against anybody, but Ronnie Hillman had come in with several hundred-yard games in the last month, and they completely stopped them.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they couldn't do that. I know you think no Sean Moreno is this, you know, great shakes, but...
No, I actually don't, but I think he's a legitimate early down lead back. I think he's a guy that's got some power, can carry the load for an extended period of time, not these Shane Vereen, Ronnie Hillman... Passing backs.
No, Vereen's not. I mean, Hillman's not a guy, an every down between the tackles kind of back. But like I said, you know, with the way that offense operates.
Trent Richardson is better, and he's done nothing in his career.
He's gotten a lot of 100 yard games based on that, the table scraps that he gets. And today he got what? 20 yards? 15 yards?
Give me a moment. 16, I think exactly.
6 for 16. So I don't know. He didn't get too much.
And they didn't have a single rush
16.
Over 8 yards. 16. That's what I like. I wouldn't have cared if the total had been higher, but you gave up no runs. There was like an 8-yard run, a 6-yard run.
Nothing.
You gave up nothing. And, you know, that's impressive. I give them credit for that.
Everything into long yard. You know, you mentioned that Manning didn't have a third down conversion until the third quarter. Well, they were almost all long yarded situations because they would run the ball on early downs and get nothing. They never got in. They never got the game going. Even on their touchdown drive that they took a 7-3 lead on, it just didn't look right. I had said something to you that, you know, Manning's better get over there and start looking at the Polaroids and figuring things out because he looks confused. He looks unsettled, and he never the next possession he came out and threw a pick. So he never lost that unsettled look to me.
Melvin's in Tennessee. He's up next here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Go ahead, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Paul, if you see that guy on the elevator again, you make sure you snatch him up and you bring him up here and let him sit and listen to his verbal abuse for a couple of hours. I cannot believe he said. That's cool, though. Like I said, you know, a lot of people think that just the Broncos just going to walk over anybody. It's not always going to be the case. But next time you see him, you tell him Melvin from Tennessee said that. You tell him you listen to his verbal abuse.
Okay.
We do not like that at all. That's cool, though. Cool.
Well, sounds it. Sounds like it's cool.
Sounds like you don't care at all.
Nope, I don't. Not at all.
Good for
one
you,
thing
Melvin.
About this game, one thing that I like about this game, I'll talk about the defense later, but yeah, offensively, I know that, you know, even LaFell had a key drop there that could have, but, you know, that's nitpicking, but we're going to need that in the playoffs. But he had his drop there. I still like the fact that everybody made plays. Amendola made a play in there. Edelman made a play in there. We were talking about the playmakers, Andy, for years ago. That's what event, you know, what you look for. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to do something great, but when your number is called, you make your play. So I feel like that was really important for me, encouraging for me, that it wasn't just one guy. I felt like everybody was in their sprout, you know, ended up making key third and fourth down catches. Well, except for Vereen. Like I said, I don't remember anything from him, but.
Nope.
I did appreciate that. You know, I did see that. That gives me a lot of encouragement for this team. So I know a lot of people calling. I got a phone, but I like seeing that encouragement from everybody contributing, making that play when that number's called. Love that.
All right, Melvin.
All right, Melvin.
Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify our point on sort of the efficiency in some areas and maybe the inefficiencies, Brandon LaFell was 13 targets for his 6 catches. So
yeah, I didn't think he was very
good. Not his best game. He other weeks, he's been included in that top group of, you know, basically the catches is the same as the number of targets. And also in that down column, which is really bad because when you're a passing back, these are pretty high percentage throws. 5 catches on 10 targets for Shane Vereen. Nobody made a swing pass look more difficult to complete than Shane Vereen in these New England Patriots tonight.
For a running back, 5 and 10 is that's pretty bad. I agree with you on that. But LaFell had a couple of drops today and a couple of plays that didn't. A couple of plays that looked like the early season plays.
And a couple of nice catches.
It didn't look quite right, and I thought he caught some passes late in the game when sort of the outcome was decided.
I think we heard from him on
email. I think that he was much better the last month.
Tonight
was a step back to the first month to me, even though he had a touchdown. And
I don't think he stepped as far back as that, but they can't all be Edelman and Gronk.
Well, the good news now is that Brady seems to be comfortable with him.
Yeah, he's the drive starter.
It's not going to be one incomplete pass and that's it. I'm not going to go to him anymore.
Oh no, he's a regular
passes. He dropped one in the end zone. That's okay. I'm going to go back to him. Whereas early in the year, he might have dropped that touchdown pass. They kick a field goal. He might not have gone back to him the rest of the game.
Murray's in Nova Scotia. We read an email from him in the pregame show. Now he's on the line with us. What's
nice.
Up, Murray?
Good evening, gentlemen and Andy.
Screw you, bitches.
First time, long time, as Mark Beadle alluded to. I love the show, but I've emailed a bunch of times. Firstly, I just wanted to say, cue Sunday NFL countdown crew, because Welker got jacked up.
Yes.
Ninkovich, great interception, my favorite defensive player. I'll say it right here, right now. I would have his baby, and I'm a guy.
You know he's kind of hairy, right? It might be awkward.
Ninkovich?
I'd just like to say
just envisioning the baby there.
Do you have a girlfriend you married?
Yeah, it's your mom.
Oh, now that's not right. Well executed, but not right.
I just wanted to congratulate Paul on his second consecutive correct pick, which is a new personal best for him.
A new season high.
And in this conclusion,
I mean, I could have a good record too. If I pick both teams, I could have a good record too.
Murray bringing the heat here in the postgame show.
And finally, I just wanted to say, in conclusion, Eric rules, and we're on to Indianapolis. I'm out.
Eric rules.
Wow.
See, that's why he was such an idiot.
Murray, you lose credibility.
If you're aligned with Eric, you're aligned with idiocy.
That's going a little far, Andy, don't you think?
No.
I just read a tweet here. This is off-topic here.
Oh, no, it's...
Do you know that J.J. Watt has the most sacks?
Never mind, it is off-topic.
Hold on. Since the start of... that's why I said off-topic. Since the start of 2012...
I thought it was like off a different Patriots topic, but sure.
J.J. Watt,
you know, Dustin Pedroia.
39.5 sacks since 2012. You know who's second, and you know how far behind? It's Robert Quinn with 22.
How many did he have today? More than just the two? Or
I don't know. He has 22 sacks since the start of 2012. Second most in the NFL in that time behind J.J. Watt.
Since the start.
39.5.
2012?
That's what it says. Adam Kaplan tweeted. I don't know if it's true.
I don't think it is true. He had two today. And didn't he have 19 last year?
I don't know.
That'd be 21 just today and last year. That doesn't sound accurate.
I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? That's what it says.
Yeah, I think you were screwed by Twitter.
Maybe he mentions the start of 13. Instead of 12? I don't know.
Maybe. Not sure what to tell you there.
But he wrote 12.
Okay. All right.
I just thought the gap between 1 and 2 was very significant
good.
There.
Very good.
If accurate.
If accurate.
If accurate.
I also
Otherwise, it's not so significant.
I also saw a tweet that the Brady Manning combined for the most throws in a non-overtime game in the history of the NFL today.
Until next week, though. That's your thing. That's
so,
you know,
Andy,
like
the American League Gold Glove Awards are going to be this week.
I don't get the relevance.
Who do you like?
We're talking about football, Beetle. I don't get the relevance at all. I don't care for it.
Let's go to Gary in Ohio. What's up, Gary? Gary!
Gary, are you alive? Gary 1.
Gary 2.
Gary 2? Gary out.
Gary, goodbye. That's the end of that. We lost Gary. Jason.
Why do I see Kevin just chowing down?
Jason's
how come we don't have food?
Jason's in Toronto tonight. Hi, Jason.
Jason!
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Jason.
Great win, obviously. Incredible. And
all right, Jason.
Just wanted to say in terms of I was wondering, A, did John Work want us to trade Brady in the first quarter or the second quarter? I was just curious about that.
Who? I'm sorry, who is he?
John Rook.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that one of John Rook's takes?
Yeah. No, I was just curious as to whether he wanted to trade Tom in the first or second.
Does John Rook want to trade Brady?
I don't know. He wanted to run him out of town last year for Taj Boyd.
No, I'm just a little PO'd at John Rook.
Why? What did John Rook do to you? Why?
Well, I need some context. I need some information here.
Okay, I can give some context.
Yeah, come on. Fill us in, because you know what we'll do? We'll pick up.
Over you on context. Okay, here we go. He said,
a little cantankerous.
Yeah.
Lovely man. We can't hear you. I think you've got a Canadian phone line there. I got you on hold. We'll pot you back up in a minute and
because
see if we
I
can hear you.
Because
I can't hear you.
For him on
Could
Tuesday.
You hear him? I couldn't hear
no.
him.
No. You know what I'm saying, Andy? I want John Rook to come in here on Tuesday, and you and I will give him double barrels. I want to carry the torch for the PFW listeners here, the post-game show.
All right, let's see if we can
which we all know are the best callers of the week.
Jason, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Are you hearing me?
Yep, I hear you better now.
Okay,
not
great.
By much, but I hear you better.
The wife is on the MacBook Air trying to record me, I think, so.
Turn the internet down.
Turn your wife down, too, while you're at
it.
Oh,
hey! Come on.
Try. Yeah, good luck with that. Okay, thanks. I'm now divorced. That's great. This was a wondrous day for me up until this second. I knew I should never call.
No, you should always call. You had a big win. You wanted to share in the experience, and that's why we're here.
And you wanted to slam John Rook. We want to know more about this.
Oh, no, the John Rook thing. It's just a matter of that I think he's just gone overboard with the whole thing regarding the, you know, the metaphorical analogs. He's just going with this whole thing regarding trading Brady, and he went a little too far with it. I mean, I'm not the only caller that called Playbook commented on this. And
so he's played out the hypothetical, what could you get for Brady, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was the first I felt to jump ship completely after, obviously, the KC, you know, debacle or whatever, or as I call it, the catapult to greatness. But, you know, I mean, yeah, it was just a little, you know, and he carried it forth. I mean, like, he was literally, what, I think it was a fortnight ago. Lay that on you.
Do you use that in everyday language? Because if so, you're lucky you have a wife, and you should hold on to her because you'll never get another one.
Yeah, she often tells me that's of that nature. Man.
What has she got on the game tonight? Maybe we should put her on the
right.
line.
Yeah, I'll put her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what's her name?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Amy. Did you enjoy the game tonight?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible.
Now, are you a Patriots fan, or do you just support your husband?
Oh, I adore them.
Oh. You like Gronk, huh?
It is thanks to my husband that I was introduced to the Patriots, but I absolutely adore the Patriots.
And man,
would you leave your husband for Rob Gronkowski tonight?
For Gronkowski, no.
Really?
Brady, yes, but I think he would be like Brady.
Hey, guys are really helping me out here.
All right, you guys have a good night.
We're starting a domestic squabble.
I think we've done all we can here. Enjoy the night.
Go Argonauts. See you guys later.
What? She said she wouldn't leave him for Gronk.
But she would leave him for Brady.
I mean, that seems pretty. I bet you that's a pretty common theme across America.
Yeah. Yep. Men across New England would be out of business.
Pretty sure.
Rather quickly.
Well, actually, my wife wouldn't, but that's a different topic for a different day.
Really?
She doesn't care for Brady.
Interesting. wow. Let's go to Malachi in Brockton. What's up, Malachi?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
I just have a couple things about the game that I want to say tonight. First of all, it's a great win by the Patriots. I felt like we were physical. We got Peyton, you know, off the field on third down, which is very important. He wasn't able to complete drives, and it sure didn't feel like he threw that. Like it sure didn't feel like he threw 400 or whatever yards he threw for. It didn't feel like that, but I guess that's what it was. I actually have one question for y'all. Like, y'all, you know, y'all done with saying that Browner can't keep up with fast receivers? Because I've seen him cover Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and the calls that, you know, some of these calls, I feel like the ref, you know, they're not fair on all of them. You know, if you're going to call all holding, if you're going to call some of them, you might as well call all of them. Because, I mean, I've seen a bad holding call on Revis last week when he held Brandon Marshall all the way into the end zone. They didn't call it. So, you know, the refs calling what they want to call, you know, it's really aggravating me. But I felt like we had pretty good pass rush at times. You know, it came through at the right times, I should say. But other than that, it's a great win, guys. You know, we have a bye week and we're off to the coast next week. Hopefully we can continue this momentum.
Agreed. Now, the only problem is you and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on Brandon Browner, but we can agree to disagree.
Emmanuel Sanders had what today?
$150. Let me give you the final.
I missed the part where he was able to cover Emmanuel Sanders.
10 for 151.
Yeah, I think if they start calling it tight, he's effed. I'm sort of banking his production on it getting looser as the season goes on and the, quote, you know, let him play in the postseason.
I would say that his forte is not covering speed receivers.
Nope.
I'm sorry, that's not what he's going to do well.
Which,
at
by
any
the way,
point. So I'm not going to say, yeah, he can cover fast guys, because if he is, if he's covering those guys and he's doing it well, it's not because he's running with them, okay? It's doing it
right,
by
physical.
Being physical and trying to knock them down
and
the line
fine.
Of scrimmage, and that's fine. And like you said, Andy, if they call the games like they did tonight, he'll be okay.
Two comments.
Which I think we knew when they signed him. Right? I mean,
yeah,
we talked about this in the preseason. This is not new.
But part of the problem was the whole illegal contact, how they're going to call it. They called it in the preseason. How long does this go on? Are they really going to start tic-tac? And if they don't, I think he's okay. But that was part of that discussion, and I think we're trending away from that. Just two things on a couple Broncos who are expatriates. I thought Aqib Talib stunk tonight. I know a lot of people have said I've been too critical on both Browner and Revis. I thought Aqib Talib was terrible, and I thought that Wes Welker is done. The guy I saw in that football field is not the Wes Welker I knew and I think Patriots fans once loved. I know they now send in emails to F you Welker or whatever you got earlier, but I think Wes Welker is just flat out done.
Yeah, I thought Talib was pretty bad tonight. I thought that he had a couple of good plays early on against the run and being physical, and then I thought there was several third downs that he just lost his guy. Like, not even, you know, like he got beat, but just sort of lost track of his guy in some zone kind of things, and he was not very impressive. In complete agreement with Andy on Welker. I really have felt like this since about the halfway point of last year. He looked like he really significantly slowed after the concussion against Kansas City. Started the next game here. He did nothing, and he was really a non-factor the rest of the season, and he's been a non-factor.
I think it's mental. You know, we were talking about this. He goes down immediately. He's trying to get the hell out of the way.
Mike sort of alluded to that in our pregame, and I think he was right.
A lot of people saying that Welker was a little bit salty in the postgame.
Oh, really?
In terms of his comments, very brief, you know, very short answers.
Well, I'm sure it was frustrating. I mean, he came back to a place, and we read those comments on the pregame show from Jay Glazier, from Welker's comments to the team about how Belichick doesn't respect
him. He apparently
him.
Was snippy with one particular reporter. I don't know who it was.
I'm going to say Tom Curran.
So I don't know what that's all about, but we'll look into that. We'll effort that, figure out what was going on there. We still are going to hear from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
And by the way,
yes,
show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. That's what Patriots fans say if a Patriot is snippy after a loss. So I just want to make sure we use the same standard for Wes Welker.
Okay.
Poor loser.
Okay.
And a quick shout out to PFW graphic designer and part-time cameraman Dwight Darien.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. He did take quite a shot, but did you see him jump?
Jumped right back
He's got skills.
Man,
because he knew.
If that were me, I would have broken my leg.
You would have snapped your leg in half, right?
Yeah. There's no way I would have gotten over that.
He saw it coming. He, he, hold his feet up off the ground. Let the player, who was it that ran into him there?
I think it was Hillman, wasn't it? Sanders. Okay, it was one of the littler guys.
I think Malcolm Butler nailed Sanders and knocked him out of bounds.
He let the player take him out because he jumped off the ground and just let it, you know, kind of flip him.
Yep.
Ass over tea kettle there. And then, you know what? The camera got a little banged up. But, hey, man, you can fix a camera.
And he claims he got the shot. I don't know if that's true. But
fixing your legs, a little bit more difficult.
But nice athleticism from man of PFW.
Good job avoiding the hit. Good job, Dwight. Let's go to Bill in Colorado. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. You there?
We're here.
Hey, how you doing? Andy? Paul?
Yes.
Mark?
What's up?
Yes, Bill.
Hey, first time talking to you guys.
Glad to have you. Welcome aboard.
I am not a Broncos fan, of course. I'm a Patriots fan. Of course, stationed out here in Colorado. I got to tell you, obviously Gronk is a force going forward in the the second half of the season after a bye week. You know people are going to try to do everything they can to take Gronkowski out of the game. I'm actually shocked we didn't see more of Tim Wright tonight, to be honest with you, and a little bit more of a Vereen and maybe a little bit more of the running game. But I got to tell you, the defense is looking great. The secondary is looking good. And of course, Darrell Revis, after the first quarter, you didn't really hear his name after that. So I was a little concerned in the first quarter. And going forward, that secondary is looking great. So I just want to kind of get your thoughts moving forward after a bye week going into Indianapolis with their struggles. And, of course, San Diego getting blown up today.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call. I want to ask you guys something that he mentioned in his call there, and that was trying to take Gronk out. It seemed like people thought the Broncos were deliberately going for the knees of Rob Gronkowski.
Well, T.J. Ward hit him right on the knee early.
You're going to be sensitive to this based on the fact that T.J. Ward is out on the field.
Exactly.
And we know what happened last year with T.J. Ward on the same field as Rob Gronkowski. So I get it. I get why people would be looking for it. But I would also say, was it any different than any other week?
Nope.
Because I don't know if it
is. Give people credit, though. They've been claiming people are trying to take Gronk out for
I just
all
don't
season.
Know what exactly you're supposed to do. You tackle him high, and you're gonna end up like the Ryan Mundy for Chicago last week. You're going to get swatted to the side like a – you can't cover him. You can't
And you can't take him down if you're wrapping him up high. He's going
to
take you
along
for the
ride. Tlaib tried to get physical, and he got called for holding twice on plays that they were just – there were collisions, and you have no alternative but to try to. Andy brought up a good point. Maybe someone comes out early in the game and feels some of that contact and takes a dive.
That's what I would do.
And maybe you plant the seed into the referee's head and see if he can get rid of that push off, because he creates space with his physicality, and you're not allowed to touch him because you're going to get called for holding. You can't tackle him up high, or you're going to just get swatted aside. And then if you tackle him low, you're going to get considered a cheap shot artist. And I just don't know what the alternatives are in dealing with him. There is no weapon like him in the NFL. None.
What were some of the other things that he brought up there? Struggling other AFC teams. Indy's had their struggles lately. Obviously, San Diego has had their struggles. 37-0 today to Miami.
Patriots got their struggles out of the way early. I sort of agree and disagree with him. I didn't think the secondary was great. As I said, maybe I'm a hard grader on Browner and Revis. He talked about Revis in the first quarter. I think when Revis is rolling, you don't say he had a bad quarter. You just say, wow, he dominated. And I didn't think he dominated from wire to wire in this game. And that's where I think it's good. They can be better. The secondary can be better if you match up with Manning a second time around. And I think that's you won by 3 scores, and you could be better.
Pretty good email here from Donnie. He writes, perhaps if Manning had Allstate insurance instead of Nationwide, he would have been protected from all that mayhem. That's a great email.
I like it.
That is a great, great email. Chicken thanks, Donnie. Arm,
you taste so good.
We hate Foxborough so much.
My one disappointment from tonight.
Belichick's weather machine kills me.
We got the Manning face like a little bit once, and they put it up on the Jumbotron and they gave a replay of the Manning face.
You could really
face.
Tell that he was defeated today because you didn't get a lot of Manning faces. Right. That was almost resignation.
Yeah. And you know what, though? I also wonder if he makes a conscious effort now to not do the Manning face.
Well, then you're really in his head. Right? If he's really thinking of how I can make facial expressions while on the field.
He just seemed like, and because Paul's right, you looked at his face and it was like nothing was there. Like,
it
nobody
was like
nobody was home.
He started to gesture a couple of times.
Yeah, it was forget it.
It's not worth it.
Forget it.
We're down 3 scores.
Paul and I also enjoyed the fact that shortly after Manning complains about his home crowd making too much noise when he's on offense, Tom Brady was gesturing in the end. It was after the Gronk.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
And Brady's telling him to be quiet down there, and they're showing the replay on the big board, so the crowd is getting loud. They think it's a touchdown, and Brady was getting pissed, and then the Patriots actually challenged, so that kind of made the moment go away. But it's like these two are always intertwined. Now, even in, like, the same little stretch of season here, they have to have the same aggravation with their home crowd for being too loud based on something that's on the big board or something.
Garrett writes in that he wants the Gronk catch, that ridiculous Gronk catch, to be the cover of PFW this week.
That would be a good one.
So he's asking for that to happen. Okay?
We never know. We go up and Fred has something picked out for the cover, and then we try to save him from using really bad words with it.
Bronco busting.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Here's an email crapping all over John Rook. We'll skip by that one.
Why?
You want me to read it?
Well, I mean, is it personal, like, or is it just based on his Brady?
No, it's just based on
it.
Anyway? No, it just
says. Then read it.
Part of the problem with Rook is it very much feels like he has three shows. All of them have the same theme. Nitpick Tuesday, crap on the Pats Wednesday, and then bring in every anti-Pats figure he can find for Thursday.
Well, Kevin, you booked the guests. Am I right?
Oh, and they have like Eric Friends on, and they have plenty of homers.
They have more homers than you can count. Eric Friends. And
Liam
Eric
writes
Friends.
In.
Eric Scalavino.
Eric Friends. Well, we're talking homers.
Liam. Eric picked the Broncos, right?
Correct.
He also said the Broncos wouldn't punt, right? They punted on their first two series.
Liam, who called us earlier, let off the show. Liam in North Carolina wanted to get some of his bad thoughts. His bad list is this. Number
Very
one,
negative.
Bill's sleeves were way too long.
Shortly after he chastised Mike and Mike for sleeve length.
Number two was Edelman's Gronk spike was terrible.
Oh, I missed that.
And he also said, this may be more of a PFW question, but which is more likely? Welker is available after the season for a comeback. I believe he will be available.
He'll be available.
Yeah. And number two, Revis gets a long-term contract at the end of the year.
Well, you know what? Welker may not be available because he may just retire.
Yeah,
if he's smart, he'll just retire after the season.
Because I don't think there's going to be too much money there for him at the end of the year.
Well, and I also think if he, you know, wants to not use a walker starting in like a year.
Okay, but Andy,
away.
What's the difference between retiring at the end of the year and retiring right now?
Well, he's in the midst of a season. I mean, I do think that's different.
Listen, if you're making a decision based solely on your health, he's already retired.
Yeah. Well, I said that to Paul. I think he is retired.
So it's a sliding scale of money versus in season versus health.
So
it's not just health. If it was just health, he's not out there tonight.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I disagree with you.
I don't think he wanted to retire. I don't think it was just money. But I do think after this year, the numbers are going to be down. His role is going to be down. His success is going to be down.
Okay, so it's
he's
not just
realize
about his health.
I'm done.
It's about his role and his money. There's not going to be much there for him in his NFL career.
No, but I feel like he's learned a lot about himself. And by the way, he got a big concussion. You know, that's changed. And I think he will walk away and call it a career. And I do think there's a chance Revis could be back. I am not one of those that thinks it's, what is it, fait accompli?
Yes.
That he is just gone.
That's a good job, Andy.
I don't think it's a fait accompli, but I would be highly surprised if he's back.
I'd be surprised. Let's read this right here. How do you feel about this, Andy?
I don't know what it is.
Gear up for the season and shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. I want to make a comment on this. I like those winter hats everyone's wearing out there.
You do?
Yeah.
The Brady hat?
Whatever
Old
hat.
School.
The Bill hat tonight?
Like the thicker knit hat.
Yeah, with the little ball on the top there.
1978.
You like having balls on your head?
Oh, yeah. Put it right on there, Andy. Yeah.
I don't actually love those.
Balls on your face.
Yeah, easy, definitely
easy.
Better on your head.
Just
Jackie Britton had one on tonight. She was wearing one of those hats.
She did a fine job with the interviews.
And
tonight.
I was sitting next to her like I do at every game, and I saw her hat. I'm like, those are good-looking hats. I might have to get one of those.
She interviewed Kevin Falk, Richard Seymour, in-game. Speaking of merchandise, Kevin Falk had a University of Belichick Patriots.
Where'd that thing come from?
Oh, I just assumed from Patriots Pro Shop.
Well, I don't know.
Is it not available there?
I don't know if we can buy that.
Well, then this
one.
Is terrible ad-libbing if that's not available.
Yeah, hope not. So, yeah, okay.
I'll just, let you know.
I like the winter hats. I might pick one of those up.
This time of year, I make a lot of stops into the Pro Shop for holiday gifts and all that. It's about that time to load up.
All right. Well, load up on those hats. They're probably going quick. The winter weather is here.
It's 855
Pats 500. We've got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to hear from. We're going to do that next right here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Stay tuned.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Another half hour to go here on the postgame show. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you. Bill Belichick coming up just 2 minutes away. So stay tuned for that. Let's go back to the phones. We'll talk to Barry in California. Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys. What a great win. Before I talk about the Patriots, I loved how the 49ers lost. I love how Dallas lost. I should have seen their faces at the sports bar I was at. It was just so lovely to watch. But I think the cornerbacks did a decent job today for us. And, I mean, they had, you know, three touchdowns against them, but for the most part, they kept the receivers in front of them for the most part. You know, they had a lot of short passes, and they were falling on the ball because he wanted to make sure they, you know, he didn't throw any interceptions. That is Peyton, of course. But what a great win. I mean, Akers, what a great sack he had, and then the other new linebacker on special teams, he had a really good tackle. So I was pleased to see the new guys do something today.
Yeah, that sack that the new guy in Ayers had on Manning was a good one.
I liked his cleats too.
Yeah, what were his cleats?
Bright. I couldn't tell whether they were orange or red, but they were very bright. Made him stand out. I'm not sure if it'll make him pay a fine with the National Football League or not, but...
Maybe he didn't have the correct color cleats.
Yeah, I don't know.
With
the
new team.
All I know
maybe
is
there's a waiver for that. I don't know. No idea.
I don't think that's
just got traded a couple days ago.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Thought that was a possibility.
Paul's taking the rest of the show off. Paul, his microphone was behind.
Listen, we've had a couple of emails coming in here. I want to get to this.
I thought we were going to Belichick.
We are.
So
we are. I'm sorry, Paul.
I sort of downshifted a little bit.
We're going there. I'm sorry. A lot of people.
But his mic was literally like behind his head.
But I don't.
Now he's talking out of both sides of his head.
I want to apologize because the reason why the mic was behind me is I thought we were going to Belichick, and all of a sudden we were on the with a phone call.
Listen, I've seen some tweets coming in here. I've seen emails coming in, media members tweeting, where was the handshake between Brady and Manning? It happened. Go to the Patriots official Twitter account.
Oh, you saw it?
They tweeted out a photo of the two of them.
Because I'm glad someone else saw it besides
shaking
me.
Hands at the 40-yard line after the game. They definitely had a post-game handshake. And even
photoshopped.
Even if they hadn't. People should know that those two guys get along very well off the field.
Here it is right here. Twitter pick. Yeah, they're right next to each other. And Brady Manning 16 in photos.
At the 38-yard line.
Yeah.
That's where they're standing.
You know those are photoshopped.
They're not Photoshopped, Andy.
That's actually not even today.
Not a Photoshopped photo. They're at the 38-yard line.
And Brady has the
Patriots
knit
sideline.
Hat that Beatles
That's
so loves.
That's a good-looking hat, Brady. I want that hat. I'm going to get
so
that
So it was
hat.
Today.
Are you really going to get it?
I'm going to get that hat. That's a nice-looking hat.
I can't wait for Felger to see you coming in with that hat on.
Do you think I give a crap what Felger thinks?
I think you do. Yeah. The way you rant and rave about him here instead of to his face on the radio.
Oh, well, no, Brady agrees with his face all the time.
Brady agrees with us on something. Gronk is a tough matchup for everyone. Thanks, Tom.
That's
We're
true.
We're with you.
That's true.
See, you can believe Paul and Andy, or you can believe Tom Brady. We're going to spew the same things.
So there was the handshake. It happened Sometimes. Between Brady and Manning on the field. And even
so who was complaining that it never happened?
A lot of people. Let me give you some...
Give me some media names.
Yeah, Kimberly Martin, who writes for Newsday. I follow her. She tweeted it out.
I don't know who that is either. No offense, Kim.
Anybody that I've heard of?
Let's see. This person from, I think, some TV station. I don't know. Denver, maybe? I just saw a couple of them. I told
this
you
This person
one.
From some, I don't know. So nobody of, like, significance?
Nobody local, no. But there were media people that were asking about it. And we got a bunch of emails on it, too.
Okay.
So it probably just didn't come through on TV.
Did you tweet that out?
The Patriots did.
No,
at
you.
Patriots
retweet
on Twitter. I can retweet it right now, which I will do, and that is done. So if you'd like to see it, go to my Twitter page, and it's there. Brady Manning handshake. I don't know who Bill Belichick was shaking hands with, not shaking hands with, but I know that he was at the podium and had things to say about this game after the game today, and here is the head coach of the Patriots. This would
well,
be
once again, I thought
Bill
it was
Belichick.
You know,
I didn't know if you're
going to
play
it. Players this week.
Go ahead.
You know, these guys really... You know, worked hard on our preparation. Denver's a real hard team to get ready for. They're a real good football team. And, you know, they had the extra time after the Thursday night game and all that. So we knew that they'd be, you know, really have us tuned in. But I thought, you know, our guys worked hard after the Bear game. We turned it around quickly, came out tonight and played well in all three phases. You know, again, got another big play in the kicking game. Thought that was big for us. The turnovers, the fourth down stops on defense. You know, it's a hard team to stop, and they have a great offensive team, great quarterback, they're well coached. You know, got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight, and you know, just hung in there, you know, series after series after series, and you know, went toe to toe with that group. So, you know, really proud of the way that they played. We got a long way to go. You know, 7 wins ain't going to get anything in this league, so we're going to have to do a lot more than that. I think we can still do better at some things, and hopefully we'll be able to work on those and improve them. But it's good team win tonight. Got a lot of contributions from everybody, and you know, it's good solid effort.
Well, I'm curious about the work they've done to Hightower. It seems that you've ever seen Jennifer getting people aligned. There were a lot of different looks and formations assessed. What was his role going into this game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's kind of the way it is against Manning. You gotta have a quarterback on the other side of the line of scrimmage, you know, to deal with what they do. And, you know, they formationists. I mean, they had a lot of different formations, empty looks, the tight ends outside, tight end, you know, Thomas. I mean, they're all in different places. You know, Hyde did a great job. He's, you know, it's obviously tough losing Gerard in Buffalo. But, you know, Hyde's really worked hard, you know, with Matt and Pat Graham. Spend a lot of extra time going over calls and adjustments and communication. And I thought he and Jamie, you know, worked well together today too, along with some of the communication with Rob and Akeem. But yeah, High's kind of at the center of that. He did a fabulous job against a tough offense too. You know, it's not easy.
Bill, you put such a premium on execution and drumming home that message that everyone do their job. A win like this. What does it do for you as a coach to get your players to get them to buy in, or are they already 7 stages bought in by now?
I mean, so we try to do every week. You know, we try to have a game plan and go out there and execute it. So I don't see where it'd be any different next week. It'll be a different game plan, a different matchup, obviously, but we'll try to do the same thing next week that we did this week. We did the week before. We've been doing for the last 15 years, so I don't really see it much differently.
Into a game like this, do defensively and say, okay, I think we have it down, but still, as you play a team like that, that many players and quarterback like that, say,
you never have it down. I mean, they do a great job of adjusting, and they see what you're doing, and they attack it, and they've seen it. You know, Manning's seen every coverage. He's seen every look there is, and once you give him something, he's got something to attack it with. So you got to be able to defend that or move on to something else, or, I mean, you just can't. He's not going to be able to do one thing against him and the type of offense they have, and there's no way.
Bill, how does Gronkowski's versatility, particularly where he can line up on different plays, play a role in his production on a play like this?
I mean, it's the same thing that Denver does with Thomas. You know, it forces different matchups and different coverage adjustments, or doesn't, and then you live with what you have out there. So we've been down that road before. That's, if they ask Denver that, how they felt about it. But that's what we're trying to do, is create adjustments, create matchups, see what they want to do.
Payton threw for over 400 yards, but holding a team like that to 21 points, is that about the best you can expect of any defense, really, considering the way they put up points?
Well, you know, I thought we had a couple chances in the red area to, you know, first touchdown was on a 3rd and 10 interference call. So, I mean, there's still things we can do better, you know. But look, they're a good team, so it's not like they're not going to make some plays out there. But, you know, we just got to try to keep making more of them. And, I mean, we always got to try to play good in the red area. That's what sort of points come from.
I know it's not until January, but there's a good chance you might see Indianapolis.
Right now, I think there's a good chance we're going to see Indianapolis. We've worked on that since, you know, the beginning of camp. You know, Tom does a great job of being aware of, you know, all situations, down, distance, score, you know, alignments, formation adjustments, and so forth. So, you know, he did a great job of keeping the play alive. He did that again last week. And, you know, it's one of many things Tom does well. But, you know, you got to know what you need. And, yeah, no, it's definitely not the way you draw it up. But that's, you know, puts a lot of pressure on the defense. The longer the play extends, then the more separation there is between that underneath level and the deep level. And, you know, you either catch and run plays or you get an opportunity to find a seam in there. And our receivers did a good job of that. A couple times today that came up, and you know, Tom did a good job of hitting them. Look, everybody plays a role in the offense, and so doesn't really, not really that important who gets it or how it comes, just as long as we get it. And we use different people, and so one guy gets it or other, multiple guys get it. As long as we're producing, we're moving the ball and scoring points, we're doing the right thing. That's the idea. It's not about a bunch of stats and stats this and stats that. Like, we're not playing fantasy football here. We're trying to win.
Bill, how much fun did you have watching Rob Gronkowski make a great one-handed catch?
Yeah, it was a great play. We've seen Rob make a lot of those. But, no, I was trying to do my job.
What is it about Brandon Browner's skill set that allows you to move around a little bit? It looked like he was lining up in some different spots.
Yeah, everybody line up in different spots today, so, you know, they all do a good job of that. They work on versatility. We've done that since the beginning of training camp, and this is a good example of it today with all the different formations that Denver uses. There are a lot of situations where we had to vary our alignments to match up for one reason or another, so everybody's been doing that. I think, you know, Coach Boyer, Coach Flores in the secondary, Matt Patricia, you know, Pat Graham, those guys have done a great job with our coverage players and, you know, having that versatility to do different things and being able to play coverage just from different alignments and that kind of thing. We've had to do that all year. So, you know, going all the way back to the Miami game with Clay or, I mean, right down the line. And I'm sure we're going to see more of it as the year goes on. So it came up today, but it's been coming up all year.
Maybe on Rob Ninkovich's interception, your thoughts on the role that play?
That was a huge play. You know, we had pressure up the middle, I think it was from Jamie. And Rob dropped out, Looked like, you know, again, it was a combination of, you know, team defense, pressure, coverage. I know, again, Rob, as we've talked about many times, has a great instinctiveness for finding the ball, whether it's stripping the ball, recovering fumbles, intercepting passes, getting his hands on balls. He's just got, you know, he's got that sixth sense of getting the ball. And that was a great play by Rob.
Bill, you talked about Julian and you punched him at that time.
What did you do? Yeah, another big play. You know, it was kind of a crazy play. I mean, we should have blocked the punt. We, you know, the Colquitt dropped the snap. We just didn't finish the play on the front end of it. And then, you know, he actually got off a decent ball. Our gunners did a good job. Our vice did a good job on their gunners. You know, Julian made a couple guys miss, got outside. It looked like Casillas made a good, pull off there at the end so to not get a foul. But it just kind of looked like Denver's coverage kind of got compressed into the middle of the field. And, you know, once Julian got kind of out there towards the numbers, then there really wasn't anybody left until he cut it back on about the 30-yard line. So, again, our punt return team's been working really hard all year at those plays. It was a big play for us last week in the Chicago game. And you know, I know Julian was disappointed he didn't score in that one, but he scored tonight, and it was a great run. But again, it takes, you know, 11 guys out there, you know, all doing their job. It's not just the returner. And so you got to give a lot of credit to the rest of the guys on that unit. You know, Amendola was the short guy. I mean, he did a good job of, you know, knocking the first gunner off to get Julian started. I mean, that was probably the key block to get us going. And then, you know, Julian made a couple guys miss, and we had good effort hustling down the field. So that was a huge play in the game.
It's been the 16th time that Manning has gone this parade. Do you appreciate, you know, the historical significance that players of that caliber facing each other?
Yeah, I mean, they're two great players, but right now we're just focused on this game.
Are you willing to share at all what your message was to the team after the win?
No, what I talked to the team about is between myself and the team. That's the way it always is.
On the conditions, Bill, the way they played out with the snow early in the day, here in the field, the wind.
About what?
How did it affect the game?
Similar to last week. I think it was kind of similar to what we saw against Chicago. It was definitely a favorable wind from the lighthouse end down, kind of from our bench to their, you know, kind of the quarter of the field down there by the lighthouse down to their end. I think that was somewhat of a factor. I think it affected the kicking game more than it affected the passing game. So that's what it looked like to me.
Phil, just a final question for Coach. The punt return, Julian's return. I noticed it was Danny returning the punt prior to that one. Just wondering what goes into that decision, depending on how you decide which guy is fielding punts.
Well, what we did tonight, when we had one guy deep, it was Danny. And we had two guys deep, which we did on the scoring play. Then Julian was the deep guy, and Danny was the short guy. So it was a two deep look. It was a different formation, if you will.
Bill, some of your linebackers, you dropped kind of late before the snap against Manning, and then when you played the trips, you dropped Revis pretty deep on that one and kept the guys on different levels. Is that something you've done a lot recently, or is that something you kind of pulled out from the past?
I think you got to, as I said earlier, I think you got to change up what you do against Peyton Manning. You can't do the same thing all day. I mean, that's not the way to go. So I'm sure there were a lot of different things that we did tonight with different players to try to, depending on the formation, depending on the call, what, you know, options we had on that we tried to, you know, try to keep them off balance a little bit. I thought our players did a good job of that, of, you know, communicating those change-ups and adjustments. And, you know, obviously we had a few problems out there, but I think we, you know, got a few of them right and caused them some problems somewhere along the line too. At least I hope we did. So, okay, thank you.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick after the win. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up as well. Let's talk to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Olivier! Do you fall asleep? Wake up!
I don't think he's there.
Dios mío! ¿Dónde está?
I don't think he's there. I don't think that's going to happen. Nope, he's not there.
Daughter
means we're going to Pat Nagawam. Hey, Pat.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Pat. Congrats, first of all, on the future children.
Thanks. Hey.
Did you know that you have something in common with our host?
What's that?
Well, Pat is going to have twins, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, how about that? How soon?
Oh, not for at least late spring.
Oh, mine are coming before that.
May or June.
Mark is coming much sooner, and he'll fill you in on the chaos that hits his house.
Awesome. Congrats, Mark.
Yes, thank you.
So what do you got up with the game tonight? Pumped and jacked, as always?
As always. I sort of expected a game like this to play out. I predicted, 37-21. I wrote that into, I wrote that into the PFW in progress, but I know you guys didn't get a chance to read that off. Sorry, I'll stop saying so much, Andy.
I thought you were falling asleep during the call.
That's true. I really wasn't expecting to get on this quick, too. I think coming up, I know we've got a big tough sprint ahead of us, and I think like you saw in this game, I really don't see anybody that we have to play, for the rest of the regular season that can sort of devise a defensive game plan to take Gronkowski out of the game. And if they do, I really like this offense. I like how it's come along since the start of the season. I know the entire offense is predicated on Gronk staying healthy, and I think as long as he does, I'm not saying we can run the table, but I think it's realistic to say that we can possibly lose maybe only one more game. And if, as long as that happens, I think there's a good probability that Denver as well could probably lose another game. And I think that this was big. I mean, if we beat the Colts next week, like you guys said, we have wins against every other division winner in the league, and I like our chances this year.
I do too, Pat, and I think Paul put it well earlier. They may not run the table. They probably will not run the table. This is still a formidable stretch. I feel much better about every single game the rest of the way. I feel much better about picking them the rest of the way. We'll see how it goes week to week, but as of right now, I'm picking them. Because as of right now, I think they're going to score 35 points every week.
Every single week?
Average.
All right,
they might fall under it a little bit, but I also think they're going to have some 40s over it a little bit.
I think saying that they, aren't going to lose more than one more game, I think that's getting a little ahead of yourself.
Well, I didn't necessarily say that.
No, I'm talking about what Pat had said.
Oh, let the fans be happy. Just because you've closed the door on everything that is good and great in New England.
I'm just saying, you've got a lot of games left to play. Like,
right.
The season's not over.
Yeah, but some of them are called Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. I'm sorry, I don't really look at the Dolphins as this great team just because they went and took care of business against the Chargers. I look at the Patriots as a team that's getting better every week, that is going to score consistently now, and is going to put pressure on teams by scoring points with guys like Gronkowski.
Olivier's back on the line. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Where the hell you been?
Country road, take me home. I love the win. I think it's fantastic, and I think I'm sorry?
I said, can you not sing?
No, I'm sorry. Yes.
Especially not country. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like your kind of music.
it is my kind of music, but please, let's keep this between you and I.
Okay.
So are you guys holding the fort? Aren't you too tired?
I'm not too tired. I'm pumped and jacked.
No, it
was a great game.
Mark just chastised me because I said, they have a really good chance to win every week from here on out. They
might. Wait a minute. I was not chastising you, Andy. I was saying, don't get ahead of yourself by saying, they may not lose another game or only lose one game. That, I think, is getting a little bit ahead of yourself. Nope. Let's take a Patriots approach and go week to week.
If you can close the door in week four because they lost a game, why can't I kick the damn door open because they've had five wins in a row that have grown more impressive by the week?
It's the window.
I agree with you, Andy. And I think that as long as Eric keeps on picking against the pass, we have a great chance to win.
That is true. He is a negative little biznitch.
We'll get one right one of these weeks.
Hi, Paul. Do you guys think that – did we get any injuries that are worth reporting, or is everyone basically came out of that game pretty healthy?
Unscathed.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
Yeah. Great.
Looks really good, and it's interesting because I don't know how we feel about Chandler Jones because I don't know where we are in the reports, right? He's missed 2 weeks now, and you have a bye. So theoretically, you're on the verge of thinking about him coming back. if the initial report was right, the potential for
and
a 4 weeks.
And it looks like Ayers was a good pickup, right?
Yeah, so far it looks like Ayers was a nice pickup. I have been pleasantly surprised, not with the production, but how much he's played, how much they've been willing to put him out there. How about a night like tonight where they were moving all kinds of bodies around up front at linebacker, moving guys in and out? You had, you know, Hightower kind of manning the show in there, but, you know, Browner was basically playing some linebacker type roles for a while, and Ayers has just fit in nicely, only been here 2 weeks. I think that's really good for him as just sort of a football IQ guy to just slide right into that role.
And also regarding LaFell, I think Eldridge was right. He drops a lot of balls, but he catches a lot of them too, and I think he's getting better by the week as well, which is very, very positive.
And we have to say what he is. He's a third option, right? I mean, if he were your first option, I'd be pooping myself. I'd be unhappy. I'd be talking about, oh, we can't have 50% completions. He falls in line behind Gronkowski and Edelman nicely as a complimentary option.
Olivier, thank you for the call. As always, appreciate you checking in. Here's Tom Brady after tonight's win by the Patriots.
Talk about the one-handed catch. That's Brady. Just right here.
Incredible. That was one of the best catches I've ever seen. So he didn't get any better than that. I wish they'd have given him a touchdown. Then we came back on the next play, and it was a little bit easier than the next one. But that was unbelievable.
Did you want to go right back to him knowing that he got you down that far?
Yeah, I mean, we had a chance to get him, in a good matchup. So he made an incredible catch, and, never seen him like that.
Soon after that, where you had Von Miller, last week you saw a backer on him, he threw the fade route to him.
Yeah.
Positioning where he ran a slant, or was that the call?
Well, I think we got, a couple options out there. So, like anything, whatever they're trying to take away, you're going to try to do something opposite, and you just need good execution. So, I thought we... did some good things. I thought we left a lot of points out there. So, it was a great win, but, we'll be back at work tomorrow and trying to figure out how to get better and going to the bye week and try to make some improvements. We've got a tough stretch coming up.
Kicks out of watching Gronk catch the ball around.
They're both pretty spectacular in their own way. So, Gronk's just he's just a tough matchup for everybody. And then, Minitron, he's can do – all the different things that he's so quick, and what he did on the punt return was incredible. And he comes out there, receiver, and makes a bunch of plays. So it was a great team win. I thought, everybody in all three phases, really helped us, achieve our goal. So it was a great win.
Tom, you guys are averaging 40 points a game the last 5 weeks, which really is not normal. Is it your new normal?
No, I think we've had a lot of help from our defense and special teams, and they've made a bunch of plays. So, we got to keep going. It's, coach said after the game, 7 wins doesn't get you anything, and that's true. And I think that we got to, keep the pedal to the metal, and get back to work and take some time to figure out the things we need to do better over the next week, and then get ready to go to Indy, because that'll be here pretty quick.
Do you use tonight's game as a measuring stick to see how good you guys really are? Because coming into this week, every player in that locker room said that Denver was the best team. Can you use this as a measuring stick now?
They are. They're a great team. I think they challenge you in a lot of ways. I'm happy we got the win. I thought, offensively, we did a lot of good things. I think there's things we do a lot better. So it was one win. They all count the same in the end. They'll have a great record at the end of the year. We know that. Hopefully we do too.
On Gronk's one-handed catch, what was your first reaction to that when you saw him make that catch?
It was unbelievable. That was just an incredible play. I mean, he's an incredible player, and he never, everything that he does, he's been making incredible catches since he got to our team. So it's just a spectacular play from a great player. And when he's going, it's hard for, it's hard to match up with him because he makes plays like that. No, it's just pretty spectacular.
Is the next play a reward for that catch?
I don't know. It's, I think we always try to go for the easy ones. And, Gronk ran a great route there on the goal line and ended up being an easy throw and catch. But, getting us down there was the important part. And he got there to the 1 yard line and made an easy play on the next one.
In the second quarter, after the Kansas City game, you've always said you can play with a chip on your shoulder and people will hear some negative and critical about the Kansas City game. Do you have the mindset to kind of kick it into another gear? Because the last 5 games, obviously, you've been playing as well as you ever.
I think, our team's playing better. I think, you know, we've executed better. We've figured out some of the things that we're good at. Our defense has been playing better. Everybody's been playing better. So, you know, it's a team sport. At the end of the day, there's no individual, one person can't do it alone. I've been a part of so many great teams. A lot of those guys were there at halftime tonight, which I didn't get to see them. But I've been very privileged to play with great players and teammates that really work their butts off for each other. That's why you string together five wins in a row like we've done, because it's a lot of guys working hard that believe in each other, have confidence in each other, and then now when you get your one day a week, you go out there and you let it rip. And I thought, you know, the guys try to do a great job of that.
Tom, you guys get a great winning percentage, obviously, in the 70s, but in this kind of weather, it might even be in the 90s. Some of your best games offensively, 50 points, 40 points are in the snow, the wind. This didn't look like a 43-point kind of game when the game started. Why is that?
That's a good question. I think, you know, we practice in the elements. I mean, as you guys know, when you're out there following us, you know, we're not in the bubble very often. So I think we've had like one practice in there all year. And I think we just get used to playing in the cold and the wind. And, you know, our stadium has a pretty consistent wind to it. A guy like Steve Gostkowski, who's, you know, one of the best kickers in the league, to kick in these conditions is pretty tough. You're right. You never know what the forecast is going to be, but Coach always says just dress for it and we'll deal with it, whether that's spring camps or whether that's, you know, during the season, you just get accustomed to playing in it. And you have a little mental toughness and just put the elements out of your head and go out there and try to do the best you can do.
Tom, Rob is always a physical matchup problem. How has he improved in other aspects of the game? Because he looks like a more complete receiver than he
has. Oh, he's doing a great job. I think he's really he understands the game more, obviously. I mean, that's what you get with experience. And he's just, he's a great route runner. He's got great quickness, speed, his catch radius, like Zoe said. You know, it's incredible. So he's just got all the tools, and he's just got a great attitude. You know, I love playing with him. Hopefully he goes down as one of the best tight ends to ever play.
Tom, the line opens to a whole new round of Brady versus Manning talk. And I know you've been answering a million times, but at the end of the day, does it ever amuse you?
I think it's just a topic for people to talk about. I mean, it's hard to compare anybody. I mean, that's how I always feel. I've been lucky enough to play here. He's had an incredible career. I mean, that football has changed since I've gotten in the league. He's always set a really high bar for how to play. I've tried to do the same through my efforts with my team. And, you know, the only thing I really care about is the respect of my teammates and trying to go out there every day and earn it. And there's a lot of things that I can't control, which are things like that, which are things that, you know, may happen on a daily basis. You just got to try to figure out the things that you can control and work hard at them and earn it every day. And, you know, there's nothing that's given to you in this league. Peyton understands that. You know, I've known him long enough. Like I said, that team's going to have a great record at the end of the year. So, thanks, guys.
Tom Brady after the win tonight. Big win for the Patriots. They're now 7-2 atop the AFC East. And now it's time, the AFC East and the AFC, time for their bye week. They get a little bit of R&R this week.
Yeah, just a quick update. If fans are interested in this type of thing, the players are off tomorrow. We'll not have open locker room. And they'll have early open locker room right now scheduled for Tuesday morning. Bill Belichick will have his conference call tomorrow and then his conference call with his coordinators on Tuesday. The rest of the schedule is sort of unannounced at this point. So there will be a chunk of time off for this team. And I won't be stunned if it's after Tuesday, Wednesday through next Tuesday, maybe something like that.
Good chunk of
looking
time.
Looking
good,
off. Andy. 21-10 Steelers.
Yes, baby.
Booyah, booyah. There you go.
By the way, Brady made me laugh out loud about the Broncos. We know they're going to have a great record at the end of the year, and we hope we do too. Like, you just beat them.
Come on.
Just say you're better than them.
So we will not be here next week for a pre and a post. You guys will be here later this week for PFW.
We could do it anyway just for fun.
Tuesday, we'll, to have a pre and a post, you have to have a thing.
Do it for Red Zone.
Are we just going to do a pregame show?
No.
Then take a three-hour break and then come back and
do a four-hour show where Paul gives the play-by-play of everything on the Red Zone show.
I was thinking we put the Red Zone on and have Paul just grunt at it.
Hey, it works for Zolak.
I get a bad rap.
What, Paul? What's wrong?
I didn't say anything about the Red Zone Channel today.
I know you didn't. It was actually Andy this week.
It's a big game. It was a big game, and I was properly focused.
So we'll be back 2 weeks from now
for a big game.
A Sunday night game. Right? That's a Sunday nighter?
Is that right? Paul, is that a Sunday nighter?
Yes, Sunday nighter at Indianapolis, 2 weeks from tonight.
They went for two. Steelers.
We'll be here.
I'll do my Red Zone now.
We'll be here.
The Steelers just went for two.
We'll be here for the pre and the post 2 weeks from now.
It's a big one. Big one.
Join us then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good week today for the Pats.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
After the bye week, the Patriots head to Indy to take on Andrew Luck and the Colts on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 8:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.